Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 583, recording live on November 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Tony.
I'm Adriel.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Caleb. I don't know who I am and where I am in the order.
I'm Dave.
Is it my turn?
Sure. You can go and then Brian.
Awesome. I'm Kelly.
And I am the conquistador. Or Brian to like anybody who's not in podcast land. Yeah. That guy.
I think you were on the very first Slamfire I was on. And then never again with me.
All right.
Yeah.
First podcast I was on with Brian would have been Modern Reload Radio, I think. Sitting in New Brunswick.
There's a modern Reload Radio now? How many Reload Radio are there?
There's a postmodern.
No.
It was Modern Rifleman, and then there was Reload Radio. I don't
know. Yeah. Canadian Reload Radio.
Okay.
And then Modern Rifleman, which I'm all screwed up because I'm backwards, but there's my sticker. Brian and I were on that. Brian was our lead host.
Yeah. But
I think I need to do research on finding, are those files still there or no? Are they gone?
My rifleman's still around somewhere.
Yeah, I think Service Conditions Radio is off. Gone. No more evidence of that.
We need to do an episode on the history of Slamfire Radio and its associated shows.
Oh, that'll be riveting.
It'll be interesting to everyone who's here.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe episode 600. I'll see about
We'll draw dozens of views.
Track like Canadian firearms podcasts and their history. You could have like an 8-part mini series. Maybe Netflix would pick it up. It'd be amazing.
I was also going to say, Tony, we stay quiet on set before we roll cameras. You're quiet, and you give people a 3 count, and then we roll.
I'm not a professional. You know this. Okay, let's get into what we did in Guns. Let's go with Brian first because it's been 83 episodes since he's been on. Wow. And a lot of things probably has happened.
It's an odd number.
It's an oddly specific number. I'm impressed he knows that. I'm also scared. But
you should have been on episode 500 though. Were you on episode 500?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was. Uh-huh. But and I think I've been on since then. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
Tony's internship failed.
I think you've been on.
Probably.
Yeah, I think I was on earlier this year.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, after our Appleseed event.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, so. Tony.
Hey, you know what? You know, this is what editing is for. You can edit that out. It's fine. True.
We can do a retake.
What have I been up to in Guns? Let's see. Last weekend I was at a local range working with a new barrel for my 10/22, trying to find an ammo that works in it. I'm struggling with that with this new IBI barrel, but I will overcome that. I haven't had a lot of time for shooting. Just work and life has been very busy. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was at the same range shooting a maple seed. So, And I think we're probably going to talk about that a little bit more later. I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of it. It's wintering here now. I'm trying to decorate my bachelor pad for Christmas and, you know,
it looks very Christmassy, by the way.
No, it does not. This is
the background is just decked right out for those that are listening. Those bare.
The bachelor.
I gotta adjust my hat. Oh, wait a minute. I'm gonna take.
You need some tapestry. Now, you need some tapestries there, Mr. Conquistador.
Yeah, I actually do have some cool tapestries. You guys can't quite see them, but I have a few comic books that I
see comic books
purchased and put on in frames. So I'm I don't have to. No one else gets to tell me how to decorate. So I'm just woo.
You do you. You always
have,
do.
You have curtains. Yeah. You at least have curtains.
I have, yeah, too many.
Or are they blankets or blankets?
No, blinds or something. I don't know. They came with the house. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't. This is like the extra
windows yet.
This is the extra bedroom. This is where I put my computer and a monitor. It's fine. It's kind of my office. That's it. I don't do much here except
conveniently open for you to rip it off when you walk by accidentally.
Well, if I don't leave it open, Dave, then paper falls every time I print from wherever I am in the house. So stop, Mr. IT man. And it holds my rifle up.
I have to say, I do that too. I have my tray open because, or else I have to collect all the paper on the ground.
It has a tray built into it, so it just stays inside the printer and I can collect it. So, yeah.
Well, I don't have that kind of fancy printer. Anyway, this is really off the topic that nobody cares.
What if you need to high volume print your targets, for example?
I do that at work.
Yeah. Mm. Plotters are the
was color print too.
Well, I could do color, but I can do full size targets. So if I really want to. So one of the benefits of working in an engineering office.
Yeah, now plotters.
Strangely, the paper that we use for printing engineering drawings is not designed to hold up to weather in any way, shape, or form. Mm. So, like a heavy mist causes it to just kind of dissolve. So, it's not great. So, and Kelly knows all about printing targets and paper stock and all that stuff.
More than I really wanted to know about.
Right?
However,
are you gonna look into what it would cost to make the colors not black, the targets not black? Like even a gray would be great, Kelly.
You're the only one that has requested that.
I know, but it's shocking.
Of course, so high maintenance. So high maintenance.
I am so totally high maintenance.
Brian shows up the range, just like, oh, these targets are blackouts. I'll be in my tray.
I already knew what they were. But we have friends who we have talked to about targets, and maybe we can look at a Brian Bolivar only target.
Well, I was just thinking, like, if they were gray, it's not going to cost any more than black, I wouldn't think. But you can still have some contrast with iron sights, and it would be actually better contrast for regular scopes, too.
Yeah, so just throw it in econo mode for ink.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sure.
Rapid print.
Something like that. Yeah. It's great. So, I mean... I don't want you to do it red like the Americans do it, because why be like the Americans? That's wrong. So
print them.
That's what we keep being told.
Yeah, the king says you don't have to do that. So
yeah. Yes, exactly. All right. So that's it for me. Somebody else should talk now.
You pick.
I can't. Dustin then.
Oh my. Okay. Well,
you walked right into that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, right into the – yeah. I actually didn't do like a whole bunch, I say, but I did do a range day with a buddy of mine. Installed a malfunction for him. He got a PC9, the same one that I have. And he did the, block mag converter to it because it comes right with the thing. But you got to remember to tighten that that screw, that takedown screw. He didn't tighten it all the way.
Yeah.
And it was having just malfunction after malfunction. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. I was like, I know what's wrong. 3 seconds later, because I always come with all of the tools.
What kind of malfunction do you get from that?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. That gun just stops working if that screw's not properly tightened.
That is funny. So, I haven't really heard anyone mention that. I guess not a lot of people already check.
Yeah, no, and he's not a super high volume shooter. Like I let him take my PC9 out over the summer. He went camping with some friends, and they wanted to go shoot guns, and he didn't have any non-restricted guns. I was like, here, take this one, and he liked it, so he bought one. But he didn't. Anyway, fix that for him.
Did you tell him to get the nesting stock one?
The nesting stock one,
like the mass pole.
Yeah,
that's the same one. I don't even know which one you have. So.
Maybe not.
Oh.
back there. I don't know. It's got the Magpul stock on it. Yeah, sorted and cleaned some brass. I was channeling my inner Dave the whole time. And then, yeah, I did a little bit of dry fire training because my handgun game is rusty and needs to not be rusty. So I'm trying to kind of build up some trigger strength again. Because I kind of busted my knuckle a few months ago and kind of, yeah, still getting back from that. But that's more or less all I did, apart from put some guns out that be relevant next time we talk. And yeah, I think that's it for me. What did you do, Tony?
Okay, we're going down the list. That's fine. Went hunting because I saw wood. Didn't really see much. The piece of land is pretty good, pretty nice, I want to say. There's a mix of really dense like woods. It's like basically not human accessible. It's a little hilly too. And some open area. So I find an edge, put down Heat of Seat. Very important. They're on sale Black Friday at Cabela's. I think $12 or something. So yeah, get one.
Oh, that's a pretty good deal. 12 yeah. bucks.
I got two in case I need to bring a friend to the woods. So that was
one for each cheek.
That'll be hard to sit on. Anyway, sat around freezing-ish. Wasn't too bad, negative 15-ish. Southern Alberta really took a dive in both temperature and ton of snow. I don't know if I'm moving too much. It's a thing. I'm thinking I need to see success to visualize success. And I don't know what success looks like yet. I can't blame that on Adriel, though. He is great. But
it looks different for everyone who heads out.
Yep.
True, but I'm thinking, am I putting my hands back in my pocket too often that I'm making excessive noise? Like, what kind of noise level is acceptable?
You know, the funny thing is, Tony, I've got a relative who literally walks around the woods breaking limbs off of trees and, like, smoking. And he shoots a deer almost every year. And generally the deer just walks out in front of him and blows it away. And I'm like sneaking around and thinking about my scent and if I'm downwind and exactly same stuff. Am I shifting too much? Or am I shifting my toes? Can the deers hear that? And he's like, meh, bang.
Funny question.
Yeah.
Yep.
What, since this is a gun show, what gun did you bring with you on your hunting excursion?
I showed it last week, I thought. So I'm not showing it this week.
This is this week.
I know, but it was the Winchester SXP 12 gauge 18 inch Defender. I'm gonna shoot a slug out of. So it was very limited in range, but I'm not trying to. My eyes isn't good enough to support me to see something at 500, and I'm probably not gonna shoot something at 500. So wasn't too bad of a concern. It's a lot of wood, so I was taking out the lasers like. From this corner to that corner is 75 yards. I think I got this. For the most part, again, slug gun. It's not a rifled barrel, so the accuracy is not amazing. But if I can find something.
75 yards?
I've done it at 100 before.
Okay. How were the groups at 100 with it?
Like letter sized paper. It's not good. It's not good. But yeah, didn't see much. But you gotta put in the time, right? It's hunting, it's not shopping.
If you are not out in the woods, you're literally not seeing any deer, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So,
that's and a good thing, day.
I saw a lot of deers just at the wrong places. I driving up, doe crossing the road. Okay, at least I'm savvy enough. Like, oh, that's a white-tailed deer. Okay, keep driving into the land. Didn't see anything. Went out to lunch. Right on the side of the field, there's three deers, $2, one doe. Or is it? Anyway, at least there's a buck there. Pretty decent. I think 6 point total. So 3x3. It's like, you're just in a farmer's homestead. That's kind of annoying. Okay. Came back, sit around some more. Didn't see anything. It's funny because it's a piece of public and it's kind of on this side road where you turn into it. It's, I think, mostly homestead, like on that road, and doesn't really lead. It leads west, which is towards the mountains. So I don't think it goes anywhere. When you turn there, it says no exit and local traffic only, which is fine. I'm visiting a local place and you'll see like littered here and there, 2-3 trucks around. But I never saw anyone left with like a deer hanging out there out of box. So I don't know if anyone were successful. I was, I think, the second to last to leave. And there's another guy who, when I went there, it wasn't too early. I didn't plan to go as a morning hunt just because, like, you know, I'm not familiar with the area. It snowed a lot. I didn't want to get stuck in a place I'm not familiar with. I saw that guy when I came in, and he was still there when I left. So maybe something happened. I don't know. And on driving out, of course, you see two does in a ditch because that's how it works. So deer everywhere, but not where I can find them or shoot them or near my presence, I guess, is the word.
Had you done any scouting, Tony, before, or was this just a drive-in?
No, this is a drive-in thing because I was supposed to hunt more with Adriel on that. And
Adriel's back fault. To,
got it. No, yep.
Yep.
I was there.
It's all Adriel's fault.
I was at deer camp way too short due to a family function. And since Dustin was very kind to try to buy me a Savage 110, but what I figured out is, speaking of obscure cartridges, the only combo they had, that reliable, and I think they sold it in store probably. The only combo they had for very specific nice. Viper, a Vortex Viper. I didn't get this. No, the Vortex Viper HS with a 110 is this. This is the only model they had, which is a 280 Ackley.
Speaking of all,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. It was 50% off, but the original price was like 18.
That's good.
That's still a like good price under Grand 4 280 Ackley, but I wasn't too into that.
In my defense, they did not list the caliber.
No, of course not.
So,
and I think it's the only model. That's why they advertise it that way. No knock on Reliable Gun for doing that. It's just, as Adriel would know, smart marketing. But I did get myself a 110 in the correct caliber. I bought it from Cabela's for a price match with Tenda. It's 308.
Oh, good.
Good.
So, nice. Yeah. I said, if I want a short action, I'll get a 308. So that's coming. They haven't responded to my prize match yet, which is a little slow for Cabela's, but yeah, they did send me the confirmation from RCMP, so I'm still not a criminal, which is great. And if they're fast on their hands, maybe I'll bring that out on Saturday. And we'll see. Maybe there's a picture of me with a deer. We'll see. Maybe not. But it does come with factory iron sights, so I can't hunt with it. Like, right away.
I would sight it in first.
Yeah, but yeah. Nah. Yes, you only live once.
Society.
You only live once.
Only accurate guns are interesting, Tony.
Yeah, but it's a Savage, so I think it'll be all right.
All right, then. Pretty sure it's fine.
This gun is not legal for hunting, but I want to demonstrate a thing about, Alberta anyways. Also, it's a 223 with a right. Golden Eagle.
Not yet.
Top, so.
Maybe soon in the future.
Do you sure you want to hunt with a low end of 15 and a high end of 60 power?
Well, I mean, put a different
rifle, but caliber.
But a thing I test nowadays for a bolt gun is kind of, I would describe it off axes, bolt closing, as in I have a tendency of pushing the bolt like kind of sometimes upwards.
Yeah.
Back in battery, or depends on the shape. This one's curved to this side. So sometimes I'll force it like this. And your local Cabela's would be the perfect place to do this. For example, the Mossberg action, you can bind it up upwards quite easily.
Yeah.
So when you're doing this, it's not great. So you want to check that if you're interested in fast bolt gun shooting, and if you have a Cabela's nearby or a larger gun store that have all the different action types, you will be able to test it out. I feel Mossberg is kind of bad for that. The 110 I tried is pretty decent. The T3X I also tried because it's world renowned for being smooth. I didn't feel like it's that different, but I also tried a Patriot. This is MVP, but similar idea. That one is also quite bindy. So just a tip for anyone who is seeking out a bolt gun that may or may not affect your purchasing decision. I think that's about it. Oh, that's no. Freaking lit my credit card on fire. It's a lot of good sales out there. We'll talk about probably later, but trigger tag, bought a gun, bought a bunch of stuff from Kibos about hunting. That's that buy. Yeah, bought a bunch of stuff. So we'll probably be sure. Yeah, bought a Lee APP. Not a progressive, but like carousel style reloading press thingy that I'll probably showcase when they all arrive next week.
Just out of curiosity, I went and looked to see what 280 Ackley actually costs in Canada. The cheapest stuff I can find is $4 a shot, and the most expensive is about...
Yeah, but Dave would like.
I have a reloading press, so Tony would reload. I think I'm reload okay.
That stuff. Yeah.
For my understanding, anything at or above 308 class, you make tons of money on. So I have the equipment. I can get the dies if I really wanted a 280 Ackley, but to me, that's more of a competition cartridge. Maybe
a that's a do all hunting cartridge. That's sure. I got the barrel done in it. It was for deer, for moose, sheep, everything.
It's a good cartridge. Yeah,
it's a good cartridge.
But it's sold, right?
I'm a crusty old guy. Anything Ackley should not be factory available. It should be a custom chamber, and you should only be able to reload it. I'm sorry. That's not right.
For any of the listeners who is interested, there's a very interesting comparison between 280 Ackley and its parent case, the 280 Remington, and how the Ackley over time way outperformed the Remington. I think it's pretty difficult to buy a 280 Remington these days.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Brian. It didn't get standardized by SAMMY until 2008, and it was introduced in 1957. So build a time machine, go back 30 years, and you can shoot it as a wildcat.
I'm just going to shake my fist at the clouds.
You kids with your SAMMY. Your chamber pressure standards.
Well, you can still get some weird stuff like I discussed last week. Get a 458 SOCOM. It's still a wildcat. Don't blow yourself up. It's kind of dangerous. All right, let's go to Adriel next, who was mysteriously absent last week.
Took the day off.
Dun, dun, dun.
My schedule's pretty tight. If you look at my weekends or my weeknights, it can look a little bit nuts. When you're penciling in friends who are like, "Oh, you want to hang out?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I could do a week from now." Yeah, it's kind of silly.
Sounds like the 1 p.m. until 1:15 p.m.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. Two weekends ago, I went hunting with my kid. I hunted with my brother's kids as well, so I didn't really see too much. So I'll have to shoot another deer some other time, maybe this weekend. The weekend after that, I did a Pal-R-Pal doubleheader. One day was almost sold out, and the other day was sold out. So nice. Busy, yeah. One of the things that had come in a while back, a buddy of mine had bought them, is these Ambi. Now they're Ambi safeties that Trigger Tech has. They're also 45.
Ooh, nice.
He was buying them. I'm like, oh, throw in one for me too. So did that.
45
safety, I opted nice. For not Ambi because I'm not wrong-handed, so I don't need the other side.
I don't like that. A lot of manufacturer. I found most of the manufacturer does biased safeties on ARs, like the left side and right side. If you want them,
you can flip. You can,
I know, but flip these. They're not the equal size. Both sides, they're biased.
Yeah. I was actually wanting to see the other lever that they send with that, because honestly, you
have
want
a short one and a long one.
Yeah, you want the short one on
four?
Your trigger. Yep. Yeah. Because otherwise, when you're, even if you run it at like a 45 degree angle, that's going to dig into your trigger finger, yep, right at the knuckle. And so like I do the ambi where I roll out with my trigger finger and put it on safe for dumping it. But yep, I don't want a long lever on the driver, well, passenger side, the,
oh wow,
the side with my trigger finger.
I thought they only give you three. Oh, I should have got one then.
No, they give you a long, they give you a short, and they give you a plate.
Right. I want long.
Why? No, you don't.
No,
because
I've shot it that way.
Long on this side will get in the way of your trigger finger.
Nope, my hand is too small. No. Oh. It doesn't get in the way.
Okay.
And if it's too short, my hands is too small, I can't put it on safe. I have to have long.
You're not going to use the other side most of the time. You're just going to use this side, right?
No, I put it on safe by pulling my hand back. So my index finger actually puts on safe.
So yeah, so you're
my two kits. Like, and
I don't
then,
know how that you're having issues with a short one.
That's so dumb. The only ones they offer.
Or learn how to do it properly.
So I know. The only one that does it balanced is. Actually, surprisingly, on the Kodiak K9, it came balanced both sides at 90 yep degrees. Or if you get the Strike Industry ones, they're balanced two sides.
Yep. The WKs
I know,
do it as
I'm
well,
kind of the yeah odd case here, but I like them not biased.
Hmm. Yeah. I like them biased. Biased so much that the other side doesn't even have it on there. I want it in the way. Anyways, that go on there. I put the Timney on there, so I'm gonna see how that treats me.
Calvin Elite,
yeah, Timney Calvin Elite.
Should have used that a long time ago. Should have started your season like that.
Well, like I said before, I gotta play with it a little bit to make sure I don't get hammer follow with it because it's so light. So I think that's just gonna be more purposeful with firing, but we'll see. So put that on the Raven. I got another spare one. I've got a Trigger Tech coming in. I bought a Stevens 3.34 and 6.5 Creedmoor from Cabela's.
Ooh,
and
nice.
They're like, oh, it's scratched. I'm like, give me some more off. And they're like, we'll give you another 5% off. I'm like, all right. So I got 5%
really?
Off plus, yeah.
How scratched is it?
Like there's decent scratches on the barrel for like, dings from being with other guns and that kind of thing.
Doesn't come with a box?
I don't know. I don't care. I hope it doesn't. I hope they send it in a plastic bag. I don't need the boxes. I hope they don't include the little piece of crap cable lock either.
同志, 你的五六半是步枪, as in comrade,
manual,
you are Type 56.
Chuck it. Yeah, I don't need nothing. I'm good.
I'm the same.
Calgary Shooting Center had a deal on red dots. I think they were water damaged, so the boxes were toast. I got two of those.
Two of those, yeah.
Price was right. Sorry, they're the Bushnell TRS 26s, I think, or 25s.
Really?
I can't that's remember.
Like 25. Well, maybe. I don't know.
$60. Can't go wrong. I'll buy them. I'll put them both on, like, both 45.
45
on,
degrees.
On both sides.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll go red dot in the middle, and then I'll go 45 on one side and 45 on the other on my gamer rifle, right?
The no, triple
I'll
dot.
Use them on some other stuff. Trigger Tech, yeah, their Black Friday sales up. Got two of their triggers. I say on the way, but like with Canada Post striking, I have no idea if any of this stuff's on the way or not. So
I
two
thought
triggers.
They used Canada Post for last year, so maybe they will be slow. Uh-huh. But a lot of smaller stores are kind of moving towards UPS.
Magdump's FedEx. Doing that kind of thing. Yeah,
I don't know what about bigger corporations. Maybe they care about having an account with whoever they ship with. Might be a little slower for them to move.
But, my GSG 1911. So I was talking to Tony the other day, and he's like, hey, you want anything from Brownells? I'm like, yeah, I want that Glock 48 better trigger. And then, oh, maybe the GSG. Because my GSG, like the recoil sprang up, it's toast. It needs to be replaced. Where do I find a new one? They don't exist. I've been looking for, what's their names? I've been looking for the better guide rod and spring combo for forever.
Cross.
Yeah, Red Deer Shooting Center had them back, and I was like, I drove through there earlier this year. They didn't have anything in stock. I'm like, when are you going to get some more? And they're like, we don't know. If you want some, you can special order them. I'm like, ah. So I just waited, and they got some. So I ordered some of that. Saturday, I'm going for a day hunt with a listener of the show. So we'll be out there. That's Jason we'll be heading out with. Sunday, I hope to be out testing some guns at the range, hopefully. So we'll see. We'll see what we'll see how badly wrecked I am from the weekend, or if I've got a big deer that I got to process or something like that. We'll see, because that will prevent me from heading out on a Sunday. And I mean, it's only minus 13 on Sunday. That should be fine. Like for the Saturday, we're going to do like a whole bunch of walking, so should be good. Who's next? Kelly?
Hello, it's me. So what did I do? So we're going to be talking about Maple Seed that Brian took part in, but it was a doubleheader. So it was both Jordan Bay, which is in Midland, and then Huronia. So I was up there for that. And yeah, we're going to be talking about that during the main topic. So we'll just skip over that a little bit. Other than it was our last events for the year for Project Maple Seed. It was lots of fun. I was not expecting the mosquitoes that I killed, nor was I expecting the really warm weather. So it was nice. And this past weekend, I was at the range. We did an it wasn't an orientation. Totally lied to you. I kind of did an orientation as well. So Sunday we did a club level handgun ATT course. So Kelly and I delivered that to some new members. Then afterwards we did orientation as well. I also sighted in my 1022 because there is a rifle shoot that's going to be happening. It's a turkey shoot. They did it every year. Huh. And I was told that I have to come and shoot it this year. I missed it last year and the year before I won it. So I set it in my 1022. It's indoor, so I wanted to make sure it was good. But my my buffer pin was also not doing well. I put a new silicone one in there. And it was just the reset on the trigger was not working. So I ordered a new kid buffer pin. It's the one with the steel pin, and then it has a polymer wrap on it. I ordered that from DeLasse. I ordered two of them. So they sent that to me. So I switched it out, just did it right at the range. And then I went and took my rifle into the range and sighted it in. Works like a dream. So hopefully I'll be able to win something. We don't win turkeys. I was expecting a turkey, but I wanted
to. Why is it a turkey?
Well, they call it a turkey shoot, but it's actually not a turkey. You don't win turkeys. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Do you win then? Do you win any kind of a game bird? Do you win a deer?
Deer. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah. No, we win gift certificates for gas cards, which is good. Yeah. It's great. That's going to be happening in a couple of weeks. Yeah. That's...
Until you found out you drive an electric car.
Yeah. No, I drive, you know, dinosaur juice. So that's me. That's what I did this week. Who else? Who hasn't gone? Dave? Kyle. Did you go? Dave. Or Kyle?
Okay, well, I'm on camera, so I shipped some stuff, ordered some stuff, got waitlisted on some stuff, and I'm traveling this weekend, so I'm probably going to buy some stuff.
Where are you shipped going? Out- Texas again?
No, I'm actually going to Arizona. I do got a pass through Texas, but and actually through El Paso, but no, it'll be going to Phoenix.
Wait, what? I need to study the map then.
Just where the highways go, that's the best way for me to go. Yeah. Shipped out mine and Craig's Benelli trigger groups down to Briley to get the match trigger done up on those. That's
a free job for you, right? You want that.
Yeah, and that, they're awesome. So I pulled out my gift certificate and it had expired end of September, which I don't know why they put such a short expiry on it. But so I called them and asked if they would still honor it. And they said, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, ship those out. They should have them on Monday. I ordered a holster from We the People today for the 365 X Macro, as they were 25% off. I've got weight. Yeah, so I don't know if people follow Roth Performance, but he just put out a modified shotgun. So like for IPSC modified division. And with that, he kind of developed a new buttstock for it. and completely adjustable, skeletonized. Apparently, it's got some springs or something in there to help absorb recoil. And so I emailed them to get put on the wait list for that. So I will be cost depending, end up being one of the first ones with that, and check that out. I think they said first quarter 2025 is when they're expecting to have those. So looking forward to checking that out. I hemmed and hawed on it for a couple weeks before just emailing him, said, yeah, put me on the wait list. And yeah, like I said, I'm going to Phoenix this weekend, so I already have a few things. I'll probably look for more holsters than that. I do want to go to Unlimited Ammo, their ammo manufacturer down in the area, and check out some of their like long-range 223 ammo, and probably pick up some 9mm just to try it out. And they it's interesting. They do like a subscription thing, so you could like do a subscription and just have ammo ever come once a month kind of thing.
That's clever.
That's
interesting.
Fun.
So, and
I wonder how the price go, just because ammo still fluctuates quite a bit, I want to say.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be fluctuating a whole ton down here right now. But, I mean, they make their own ammo too, so maybe they just have a stockpile of stuff, or they got to have some kind of situation figured out there. But, yeah, and then I really want to get my hands on a Athlon 1-10 first focal plane and really check that out. So I will probably be trying to continue finding a shop that actually has one in stock that I can put my hands on.
At this point, you should just have Athlon sponsor you.
Well, funny story, I have not reached out to them yet. But
exactly.
I'm not going to tout a company on a product that I haven't tested or I don't believe in.
Well, right? Tell them to send you a reviewer sample.
If all it was just getting a scope, like, this is not a knock on the company whatsoever, but if I just wanted a sponsorship just to get a scope, I'd reach out to Vortex. They sponsor everybody, and they're pretty easy to get a sponsorship. Now, the level of sponsorship is a whole other thing, but like they're one of the easier ones to get sponsored through. Right? As I've said before, like, I love the company and what they do and their support, but I'm not a fan of their optics. So I do want to get my hands on an Athlon. It's I think that's like $1,000 US. So it's budget wise 1-10 first focal plane. So I definitely want to get my hands on that before reaching out to them. Also, same thing with Unlimited Ammo, a smaller ammo company. I want ammo so I can practice. So we'll see. I might reach out to them, see how their ammo is and that, but because it is that time of year to be.
When a young man's fancy turns to ammunition.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's it for me. How about you, Dave?
I sorted brass again. I'm almost done my two great big buckets. I've got two sandbags full of 223, and I probably 800 rounds of 308. So one of my friends reloads, so he got a great big box full of. He's good for a bet. He's good for a bet. So yeah, I gotta find some more friends that reload and give them some brass, because I got more brass than I will ever use, because I haven't hand loaded since 2009. So I just have
really.
Yep. I got all the equipment.
So much brass.
Because quite often at my shoots, I just say, if you don't want the brass, throw in the brass buckets. I'll deal with it. Same with duds. So after 12 years of doing that, it turns out I have a fair amount of brass. I came home one day and I had
some to me or something.
I had two brass buckets like that. So for the listeners, it's about, I don't know, a foot tall and maybe 9 inches across. And I had two of those full of 223. And I came home another day and I had two of those full of 308s and 30-06s. So I just, some of it I don't ever plan on reloading, and some of it I'm going to start reloading again soon, I think. I really want to. And the stuff that I don't shoot, I have lots of friends that do. So
did you retain all your reloading setup, or you got rid of that too?
Oh, dude.
There's the dies. I see those. What press are you running?
Thousands and thousands. It's just an RBS single stage rock trucker. And then I have thousands and thousands and thousands of bullets and probably 10 pounds worth of powder sitting here. And I don't know, thousands of primers.
They're going to expire. Use them soon.
Expire? Nothing expires. I filed World War I ammo. It still went boom. So yeah, I got so much reloading stuff here, and I've had a few friends die over the years, and I ended up inheriting, like, you know, 1,000 223 bullets and stuff like that. So it either goes to friends who reload when they need it, or eventually I will use it. So yeah, sorting brass is pretty much what I did. I also picked up, I don't know what I did with it, but I picked up a Mantis X Elite because they were on sale at SRS Tactical.
Ooh.
So oh, yeah. Haven't even taken it out of the box. Haven't looked at it. I've had it for like 2 months. So eventually I'll pull it out of the box and try it. And
please
see how
do.
It is.
Please do let me know how that is. I literally have that open on the monitor over here, and it has been haunting. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, it's right there. So please let me know how you like that.
Okay. I'll give it a go, and I'll let you know, because it intrigues me, and I don't do enough dry fire, and I don't shoot very much at all. So I need to do a lot more dry firing, and then maybe when the rare occasions I actually go out and shoot, I won't suck.
So, yeah.
Not that I'm terrible, but I just could vastly improve. So.
Likewise.
Yeah.
And I just started dry firing again, so this is tempting me. So.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, I will get it hooked up in the next couple weeks, and I will let you know how it is.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I think, was I the last one there?
Yeah.
I think so.
I realized I can't go shoot again after, like, my birthday is coming up soon, and courtesy of Canada Post, even though, if y'all remember, at the beginning of the month, me fighting with license hasn't come in the mail. They dragged their feet for 6 months, fight me, and then
damn you, Canada Post.
And then they're gonna go back to work, and they're gonna lose it.
But yeah, that'll be the next thing. That'll be great.
Well, look at it this way, Dustin. They have lost something like, what the hell is it I read? $6 billion in the last 15 years?
I know,
ridiculous. Right? Like, they're losing $1 billion a year. So hopefully they eventually just collapse under the weight of their own stupidity, and we don't have to worry about it. And then Amazon takes it over or something. I don't know. Like, they got to collapse sooner or later. It's just going to happen, especially if they get this 23% raise or whatever the heck it is they're asking for.
I was CBC budget over there.
I was pondering this today. If Canada Post is losing $300 million a quarter, it's not a strong bargaining position to ask for more money.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
They did.
Yeah.
We're not losing enough money, guys. Yeah, I don't know.
That's the genius of unions.
I don't know. Anyway,
there's been a few in my area where they unionized, and then they decided that we're making enough, so then they went on strike for extended periods of time and bankrupted the company, and then the union said, thanks for your dues, great job, everyone standing up for Canadian jobs, and then left. So, yeah.
My unions cost me more money than I think it's ever made me, so.
Yeah. I only ever worked for one once, and it was the Teamsters, so they were like the union. Oh. And they were the worst, laziest, surliest. The thing from the Simpsons, Dustin knows this one for sure.
I love the Teamsters. I've got lots of Teamsters. Yeah. They get paid a lot to do, not a lot sometimes.
And that's what I found. And nothing is their job. So at the company I work for, so complete aside, not firearms related, but the place I worked at for a year and a half was Teamsters, and I occasionally came up with things that we should probably be doing rather than the really highly paid guys, and I was very quickly told that that was not your job, and because we're just sitting around anyway, so I'm like, we should do these things. No, we should hire somebody else to do that. I'm like, but we're literally sitting here doing nothing, and it's really boring. And they're like, yeah, we need to hire more people. Oh, okay. And that was pretty much my experience with the Teamsters, and they can go to hell. So
that's kind of crazy. I haven't been employed with a union, so I don't really know. I've heard some stuff. In my company, we have a union side and a non-union side.
So I've heard some stuff by proxy, but I haven't really.
And there aren't wars between the two sides?
No, it's just the hourly versus salary thing.
It's fun watching them defend to the death the lowest common denominator that long since would have been fired anywhere else because they suck.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like unions.
It's a gun show. We've been at it for 15 minutes and we haven't even gotten to past what we did in guns.
All right. Oh,
shit, upcoming I said that aloud.
Outdoor voice.
I guess only Kyle would know if there's any upcoming events because their weather is more tolerable.
Not in Canada, there aren't.
But what about, I don't know, maybe surrounding you, Roswell?
Their monthly matches are still going. So your regularly scheduled monthly match is still going. Major matches are pretty much wrapped up till spring.
And also Kyle's off for tomorrow because the U.S.
Yes.
Turkey Day. Tomorrow. Yes.
Turkey Day.
Oh, and it's then Thanksgiving. It's real Thanksgiving. Cool.
Yeah.
Which means shopping
it's start,
day.
It's the start of Christmas season.
Why Black Friday is Friday.
Yeah. Freaking Christmas songs already on the music.
They've been playing them for a month.
Okay.
All right. News. Not too much gun involved. Again, Catapult still on strike. I think it's been 2 weeks now.
Anyone notice yet?
Nobody knows how long it's been because nobody's really all that put out by it. Except
I have received vastly fewer flyers than I normally do. So
there you go.
Yeah, yes. I like that part.
Yeah. Another piece of news I guess could be gun related. Trump threatens 25% tariff on Canadian goods if we don't sort out the border, but I don't know what the detail is. So
let's sort out our government first.
For you people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be a developing story, so to speak. We'll see about that.
I didn't put it in there, but something, if you own a Raven 9 and you're dealing with the broken firing pins, Taylor seems to have narrowed down where a common denominator on all but one that he's heard of has been with Trigger Tech triggers.
Mm-hmm. That's an odd one. Really? Because
it's very odd.
I believe Taylor's still running. Well, he's been running.
No, he's running a hyperfire. Yeah.
But he still breaks them. That's the thing.
Well, in his post, his broken firing pin came from when he had a Trigger Tech in there.
I thought he didn't have a Trigger Tech.
Is the hammer hitting too hard, or what's the story?
I have no idea.
Wrong angle?
It's a very interesting.
Yeah, like Timmy didn't want me running an AR trigger in my PCC because of just how violent it is, and that the hammer when it resets contacts the sear. And they were saying they were just beating triggers apart. Like I'm testing one AR trigger out right now to see if it works. So I don't know how the geometry on the Trigger Tech is, if that's the same thing, but that would be on the trigger, not the firing pin. So but
another point to raise is that is a factory option you can select on a dropdown.
Mm-hmm.
Raven, Lockhart offer their quote unquote Raven trigger built by Trigger Tech. Mm-hmm. With their Raven 9 complete rifle. So
it's
just got to warranty that somehow.
It was something interesting, and I know when I read that. Yeah, it's interesting that pretty much all the broken firing pins came from one type of trigger.
You had any issues with yours, Brian?
No, I haven't, but I just have whatever the generic cheap trigger is that comes with it because it's a PC9, or it's a 9mm PCC that I'm shooting at really close distance. I'm not trying to shoot minute of angle groups with this thing. It doesn't matter. It's a trigger.
Oh, dude, you put a fancy trigger and it'll get you from 5 MOA to 4.9 MOA.
I have a lot of Trigger Tech triggers on stuff, but I'm pretty trigger intolerant. Like just use proper technique. You're good.
Yeah. I'm the same. Fair. All my ARs.
Hey, part of that maybe is because I'm also pulling it with my left hand, so they all work wrong anyway. So, I mean, right. I'm just so used to adjusting for that, right? Because I'm crippled.
I'm sorry, are triggers left-handed? Well, no, left-handed trigger.
My trigger finger is on the wrong side, so it's my fault. That's just...
That sounds right.
I'll tell you.
No, that sounds right. It's, you're left-handed, it's your fault.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much. Is Brian left-handed or left eye dominant? Now I'm hearing he's left-handed dominant. Oh.
Yeah, he got lucky.
There's no fixing him.
Yeah. At least he got lucky. He's not left-handed and then right eye dominant, because then you're just hosed if you got the reverse.
This reminded me. I was at a quote unquote IDPA match a couple 3 weeks ago. A zombie match, actually, sort of kind of wide open, and they grumble at me because I'm left-handed, because you know the safety guy's got to go on the other side, and I just pointed out it's weird. I'm gonna be left-handed all day. Just cope with it.
That's a funny thing. Adam Maxwell was Vortex Optisk. He showcased, he's shooting more USPSA nowadays, but he showcased his old IDPA vest that he custom made. It has a gun and an arrow on the left because he is left-handed. So this arrow would know.
Gun Do on not the left. Pass on left. That's cool.
So
all right, so that's a developing story. We'll hear about it probably more because Taylor's on here every single year. All right, new gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye Norris. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye Norris is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. They have a wide selection of guns and top training gear for any shooter. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition, or flat rate shipping for $17 for order under $250. Some conditions apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. And this week, the Black Friday sales for Bullseye Norris is on. Adriel, do you mind doing the share screen?
They Why don't you do it? You got it up.
God, I didn't open all of them, though. They have a bunch of stuff. Do I have them all open? Okay, I kind of ish did.
The riveting silence.
They have your lifetime supply of 375 Holland & Holland from Nora. Wow. 200 rounds, 10 boxes for $1,020. Wow. $5 a shot, but it's a lifetime supply.
You are Holland muted, Dave.
Why am I muted? Oh, okay. Well, that's a really good deal for that ammo, actually.
Yeah.
Really good price.
They also have some interesting calibers of Norma or Oryx ammo available, so do check them out. There's also more stuff. They have a owner's secret collection PU, a legit PU sniper, apparently, with a U.S. import mark for $1,125. They also have a great selection of Brand 2s on sale. Is the thing switching? What is going on?
No,
I'm disappointed.
You just got to share to the tab there.
See, the brand.
Sure, tab is available. Sorry, go back to the PU sniper for a second. They have the Brand 2 MSs in both 7.62-39 Russian and 223.556. 556 is in 16.5 restricted length, almost $3,000. The 7.62 is actually slightly cheaper, $2,700 for the 9-inch barrel, and more practically the 11-inch barrel for $2,339.
Do we know if they're bringing in mags for those? Because my roommate actually picked one of them up, just said he had something that was a little cheaper to shoot, but he had to do go through another shipper to get mags for it, and it was quite expensive.
I believe because the Brand 2 MSs have the upper serialized, you can get yourself an AR magazine style lower, which will probably be your best choice regardless.
Bullseye North does have the magazines in stock. 10 rounders, great. $43 on sale.
10 rounders, really?
10 round of the 7.62x39 ones?
Yep.
Nice. Okay,
that's pretty cool.
Brought in some pistol mags. I should, I gotta text the roommate.
Let that credit card on fire. Let's go.
It's his credit card. I'll spend all of his money.
Which is fair. Other stuff we have. MDT Black Friday sales apparently starts at 3 p.m. PST, so today. Let's see what they have got.
That'll be on Friday.
Oh, what? Oh, sorry. No, tomorrow. So tomorrow, yeah. 3 p.m.
Tomorrow, yeah. Who else? That's their one where they sell all their factory seconds, that kind of thing, for like half off. So, yeah, that's a really good one. Definitely check that one out tomorrow. Watch hey, that Dustin, one closely.
Hey, Dustin, I thought you want to build a PRS rig.
Which what?
I thought you want to build a PRS rig.
I mean, I do. I really do.
Exactly.
Got to check that out.
Italian sporting goods. I think we maybe made fun of them last week. They had good deals on optics and stuff. They have Leica rangefinders, CRF 2700 for $599 from $1,250. And also the Vortex Viper HS6 to 24x50. Second focal plane for $650 from $1,050. And other stuff. So go check them out. I think they're in-store first, online later, 29th, 30th in-store, and December 1st and 2nd online. Which
if you all see anything interesting in there that you want, it's like 10 minutes from my house, so happy to go pick stuff up once I'm licensed again.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Or I guess like before I'm licensed either, like, until you know, the birthday happens.
What else? Da-da-da-da. I saw I had another one. I don't think Reliable Cell already went on. That happened. Oh, International Shooting Supply. What did they have? I think they also have stuff. I didn't do the research too well. Sorry, guys. Trigger Tech. They have their Black Friday sell. I guess I can pull it up here. They have sales on the duty triggers. They got free shipping this year, so the price is actually slightly better than last year. I got one as well. They have their gold series, trigger safety and other things. So yeah, if you want gold.
Question, is the free shipping due to Canada, the Canada Post strike? Like it's free because there's no shipping? Is that, that works?
I think so, because mine hasn't been shipped yet.
Checks out.
Okay, that's a way to free ship.
Those are very pretty. They're the Diamond Tech Trigger Tech Diamond Trigger Gold Edition. It's your rifle's inner African warlord.
We all need one.
You can have fancy gold safety too. Oh, Brian's
muted. Brian's
on safety safe.
Biased, or is the safety like? Like
just it's biased.
It is biased. Okay. All right.
Or I would have got one long ago. It's the exact same, but different color than Adriel's one. So.
Okay. Just check.
I got one in black too.
Just checking. Yeah, they have a diamond-like finish. All right. For the main topic, we have the mad lad who shoots maple seed riflemen with a single shot. Brian Valera, welcome to the show. You're an old friend of the show, like before I was employed here. So
not that old.
Take it away.
I'm now a madman. Wow, that's
and fair. Old.
That's fair. Yeah.
I would.
How many people shot single shot for maple seed?
I don't know. Kelly didn't even write down the type of rifle that I was using on the sign-in sheet, so she obviously doesn't care.
Yeah, that's like an important detail,
Kelly. She's like, basically, whatever, Brian, he's gonna shoot riflemen, who cares.
She went out of her way to ignore me all day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
so what did you use?
Okay, so about a year ago I was in arguably Canada's best gun shop, Elwood Epps Sporting Goods.
Oh yes,
little plug. And they had this beauty. So this is a BSA Martini 22 caliber cadet rifle that apparently was purchased by the Canadian government in about 1925. So
wow.
I think it's creeping up on 100 years old. and this, well, if look it's, it's either 25 or 27, wow. I'm not sure. Yeah, so it's your classic, your very common falling block single shot rifle, you know, as it would be. It does have Tang mounted elevation and windage adjustable rear aperture sights. It did come with a factory front aperture that I broke when I was screwing around with it. So I put a Lyman on because that way I can have different front sight apertures. And yeah, then the other modification, I've put a recoil pad on because a 22 is really massive recoil. Actually, that's just for length of pull, just to make it a little more comfortable for me to shoot. And then I've added an external cartridge carrier.
I saw that.
So with the judicious application of self-sticking Velcro and ordering an MTM 22 caliber ammo wallet and a judicious application of a Dremel, you can take one ammo wallet and make it into three 10-round cartridge carriers that you can then stick on the side of your action, have it reasonably close then to the breech, and you are able to kind of quickly load the rifle.
Not, I wondered how you'd done that, because at Appleseed you just sort of had a handful of cartridges and you were dropping them.
At Appleseed I was using my Proc, but I did have a couple of these set up, but I wasn't very practiced with them. I was messing around. Now, on top of the challenge of the single shot, like normally one would use your index finger and your fingernail to pull the cartridge out and load it into the magazine. I managed to drop a rather heavy pry bar on my trigger finger, and I currently don't have a fingernail on that hand, so I had to use other fingers to make that work. So they just added to the challenge. I mean,
it was fun.
It was fun.
You were smooth with it.
Does it at least have an ejector?
Oh yeah, no, it'll toss brass all over the place. Yeah, for sure. As long as you're aggressive with it, with the otherwise it'll just like lay it into the breech and then you're kind of stuck with it. It won't go anywhere. So it's a bit of a challenge. Consistently with for Maple Seed, the two short time stages, the 65 second and 55 second, I would get about 9 rounds off. I would consistently get the 10th round loaded, action closed, when the dulcet voice of Kelly would scream, "Cease fire, cease fire, cease fire." And being the good boy that I was, I did exactly that as soon as I started hearing that. Yes. Wow. I had other problems that day, Kelly, I admit. Yeah. Kelly had to yell at me once that day, but that's okay. I didn't, nobody was hurt. And I just learned to just step back from the equipment line, and then I couldn't step over it accidentally. So,
and say thank you.
I think it was more of an oh shit and then thank you. Yes. Yeah. So, now I've had some people ask me like, what was my sight picture for this? Cause it is iron sights. And as we were talking about earlier, the Maple Seed targets are black. So, I figured that out just in my basement that a post front sight, I did not give me any type of sight picture that I could repeat. I had no idea where the current post was. So I was actually using the round apertures at the front. That would enable me to center on roughly the V for the standing, because it's a big target. Yeah. And rest of the targets, I could basically frame the actual black shape in that circle, and it allowed me to have a repeatable aiming point. So now I was not spending a lot of time aiming, even at standing. Certainly at the time stages, it was okay. Yeah, that looks about right. Squeeze, off we go. Because if I was going to be able to cycle this action and load it and get most of the rounds off, I had to do that really, really quickly. So I was definitely using Rifleman's Cadence, but it's not a Rifleman's Cadence that anyone would recognize. It would go faster. So, and then for the final stage, you're 5 minutes prone. I could relax and just take my time, and I was always the last person finished.
You were.
I felt like this,
I felt like the slow kid in class.
So, but you got the rounds off.
I did. Well, yeah, I did. Got the rounds off and I got them on target. So it worked out better than I hoped. I did try this in April when I was at the Appleseed in Michigan for just a couple MQTs or AQTs. But by then I was pretty tired and I didn't really have a good solid zero on that rifle because I hadn't shot it for the event. So I thought if I could spend a day with Maple Seed and actually zero it through the day, then it probably would work out, and it did. Let me think. I guess the first target I shot a 210. Mm-hmm. So qualified rifleman. And then the next one, I shot a much lower score, under 200, but I did notice that my point of impact was low, so maybe my sling was starting to slip by then, or I was just getting fatigued. I don't know. So I just added a couple clicks of elevation for the final MQT, and then shot a 216.
So wow,
worked out. Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. So
even your middle target was 197. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but yeah.
Right.
Like I said, under 200. Yeah. So
right. 210, 197, 216.
Yep. Wow. So yeah, pretty decent. Well done. I mean, I wasn't expecting to shoot distinguished. So that's fine.
Well, this time.
Well, yeah. I just you know,
you need to shoot a full size martini with like black powder so you can blind everyone after the first shot.
Listen, I've tried to shoot a Maple Seed with a 303 Lee Enfield, and that did not work very well.
I almost brought mine, and then I'm like, I only got like 300 rounds, so. Eh.
Yes, yeah, it, and it's just the increased recoil, and I was also trying to. I forget if I was doing mag changes or if I was loading stripper clips, but
you were loading stripper clips way back then.
Okay, so I was fumbling those because, strangely enough, I don't load stripper clips in a Lee Enfield on the regular because it's 2024 and I just don't do that. So
yeah,
I'm not that practiced. So anyway.
How was your shoulder?
After the Lee Enfield? Oh, I was much younger then. It was fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely not interested.
I shot mine a couple months ago and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I don't shoot this thing.
I need to ask.
I use it for hunting, but I figure screw it. I'm gonna fire like one round, maybe
two.
Can
I shoot a slug shotgun at Maple Seed? Just to blow up the target so you can't score it?
That's cheating.
Yeah, that's the point, right? You got a game.
You're always looking for the most obscure ways to game, Tony.
If he can actually do the reload with a pump shotgun on the prone.
You know what? If you want to do it, 350 rounds slug, go for it.
Don't
do the instruction.
Well, see, so we're talking about reloading now. So I was kind of gaming it because I was keeping 10 rounds on the rifle, but I didn't have a magazine. So I wasn't loading 2 and 8. I was just loading 10.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit. The reality is you're doing a single
one plus one plus one plus one plus one plus one.
It's not a gaming that speeds you up. It's the other way. So I think the other way is okay.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Go ahead.
I was just waiting for someone to call me on it. Say, no, you can't do that. You've got to have two ammo cards.
Like, you gotta rip your ammo card, slap a new one on there, load two more.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bring my Kui out, Kelly. I'm gonna bring my Kui out now.
Oh my god, there was somebody who wanted to use their Kui. Said, "How about we set you up for success?"
That's a good
call. I'll do it just for fun.
But what about the Canadian heritage?
What about it?
Please, gotta do it. Canadian made.
Yeah.
Proud Canadian.
Yeah. No, it was actually for a kid. And it wasn't gonna work for him. No. So I said, why don't we
can ever find one, I would shoot a Maple Seed with a Ross. I don't think I can do it.
I mean, you can find them. They are readily available. They're readily
expensive, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I can't even really read the target at 25. My eyes are that bad.
That's the other thing. Okay, like that's the other thing. You did this with open sights too. Like open sights, manually operated falling block single shot rifle.
Right.
People don't understand how many levels of really impressive that is. Like that was why I insisted you had to come on. We had to talk to you. Like,
but again, it's not really open sights. It's not like I was using notch and post. It is aperture. So you know, the rear naturally centers, and I wasn't using a post front sight. Again, if we had gray targets, then yeah, I could have, but I just, and this is not a dig. It wasn't until I was messing around in my basement with, well, what front sight should I use? And I went, oh, these are black targets. I can't just possible. So one of the other challenges I ran into, because I was using a front iron ring, especially on the last stage, you've got the four targets that are pretty small. I could only see one target at a time, and it was, I'd have to pull the rifle down and check to see which one I was on. Sure, I was in sequence. Now, if I was being a bit more of a prima donna at the event, I would have said, okay, let me go to the firing line while you guys are doing instruction, because I have other apertures I could have used, including one that's like an opaque plastic disc, like it's kind of a yellow, that might have allowed me to actually see the other targets, but just have a clear picture. But I wanted to just go along with everyone else and not be the special individual at the event. So
that guy.
Yeah,
be that guy. Because if someone is being that guy, Kelly gets all stressed. So I didn't want to stress Kelly.
Yeah, I never get stressed, and you're always that guy.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to go along, and yeah, I didn't want to try and be a
no.
So that's something I would mess around with at the range sometime. But again, I've done this. I don't need to do it again with a single shot. It's fine.
It was pretty impressive.
Kind of done. I mean, maybe if I had an iron sight center fire, I would try a known distance with it, but no, I'm probably not going to do that either.
Fair.
If I could get my Colt Canada back that I can actually use, I could put sights on that and shoot that. But
yeah. I think an M1 Garand on KD would be
cool.
The way to go.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat. Yeah, well, pretty much. Well, then the Lee Enfield would be more fun at distance too.
Yeah,
That, so
see, that's some other things you can do. You know, be impressive in other ways. I guess I don't know.
At some point, it gets to be an expensive way to prove myself. It's fine.
Fair. I think shooting two rifleman scores on that rifle. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed. Like,
it's very impressive.
Yes, it is.
It worked out well.
Now, because it's you, I'm not shocked that you did it, and you were very close to it at Appleseed. You were what, 209 on one year, or 208 or something?
I don't remember. I feel like I was over two on one. Yeah,
you were very close on one of them. I think you were a 208 or a 209. You were just under. You were very close. So I'm not shocked that you did it, but it's very impressive.
The best part of doing it at Appleseed was the line staff there, because they're very used to semi-automatic rifles, specifically the 10/22. And I come to the line with a single shot falling block, and she looked at me, and then she looked at the shoot boss and went, literally, I could see in her head, what the fuck do I do with this? How do I deal with that? Anyway, just had to point out, okay, there is no safety, so I don't have to put the safety on. I'll put a chamber flag in. I'll leave the action open, and I won't touch it. That's it. It's good. We're done. It's fine. So,
yeah. It's anyway. The other thing you talk about, right? Like, it's such a different rifle from, like, the standard platform that folks shoot that with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this rifle is so much fun to shoot. It's really heavy. The barrel is, I don't know if we can see it on camera, but it's a beefy.
That's a heavy profile for a 22 barrel.
It's very heavy profile. So
the rifle sounds different than any other 22. It feels different. It's just like a pop.
How long is that barrel?
I got to be 25 inches or so.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's a big beefy, and which is good, because it is iron sight. So it gives you that good long sight radius.
Yeah.
And now on that same token, because I don't know exactly I think the distance from the front to the rear sight varies from rifle to rifle. So the elevation and windage adjustments are kind of a guess. I don't really know. I really have to mark this as somehow. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that.
Well, make a shot, turn it 10 times.
No, but right now it's zeroed, so I should mark it for this 25 and then
use a Dremel.
The Dremel.
Don't destroy historical artifacts, please.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. These guys, their suggestions. That's a great idea. So anyway,
I can feel the weight of that gun every time you pick it up. Like I'm just looking.
It's beefy.
It has presence.
Yeah, it does.
And I learned something really neat about it. When I after the event, it rained a little bit. Strangely enough, with Kelly. At a maple seed, it rained a little bit on this 100-year-old rifle. So, and there's two screws that hold the action in. So I thought, actually, no, it's not. It's one screw actually holds the barrel. So I can take the whole barrel off, which is really neat. I don't know if it's like a feature, like it's meant to be a takedown or if it's to facilitate cleaning, but I was really surprised when I had the screws out and all of a sudden the barrel turned off in my hand. I thought, that's okay. But you're also looking at 1925 machining and it's beautiful.
I was going to say, it's got to be pretty in there. Nice. Yeah.
Like this thing would have to cost $2,000 or $3,000 today, I would think, to make with the level of craftsmanship that's involved in it.
As he slips,
as he jams his whatever in there.
Yeah. Well, yes.
That's a nice rifle.
Oh yeah, it's so cool. And the other thing that's neat about it, because it's a falling block, you just load the rounds in it, so I can shoot like 22 shorts in it. Oh. I've got like the little super tiny ones. They just shoot a round ball. It's hilarious. They sound like nothing. The only thing with them is once you shoot them, you have to clean the chamber if you're going to load 22 because you now have powder like halfway up the chamber. So it's just kind of fun. I don't know why I have those gallery rounds. I've had them for.
Where'd you find those?
Apps, I'm sure. Yeah. I have no idea why I have them, but anyway. So I found out they work. They shoot pretty accurately at like 10 yards. Which is exactly what they're for, like they're indoor kind of a gallery gun.
Yeah, meant to shoot in your front lobby in your Victorian mansion with your friends when they're over. Huh. Sniff, drink cognac, and shoot your little 22.
Uh huh.
Which, if you look up gallery guns, if you've never actually looked that up, kids, go Google gallery guns. It's really interesting. Like people literally used to shoot 22s in the front hallway of their houses in like England. It was a thing that people just did in the like sitting room.
So wild how that place has changed.
Crazy.
Aren't you at risk if you have a butter knife now in England? Isn't that?
Yeah, you'll go to jail if you're
ID.
If you're in possession of like a 22 round without the appropriate license, that's prison time there. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, a guy from England was up when I was at the Aurelia gun range and he had a meltdown because we went out onto the range and he was there with his buddy and we arrived at the same time. We go out and he had an absolute meltdown because there was a live 22 round sitting on the bench and no one was there. Somebody had accidentally left it here. And this guy was like, we need to call the cops like now. We need to get freaking SWAT team out here. Explosive disposal. Like it was the weirdest thing. And we're like, I think I'll just take that and shoot it. Like it was strange. Like it was really freaky how freaked out he was what by just a straight round the, line around.
Like the unfired bin. Like if you pour it out, there's stuff in there.
I'm assuming it's locked up and maybe there's like an armed guard or something standing next to it. Cause this guy was genuinely freaked out about a stray 22 round floating around. Like they've wow.
They've been so programmed there. It's always comical bringing Australians and Brits to the range. It's always a good time.
Yeah. That's the thing though. I think it was on the CFE Discord. They shared like this, I guess, old archive of TV programming about like IPSC in Britain. It's a very funny intro, like looking at a big band, looking at the London double-decker bus, and then people like sitting in a boat. It's an IPSC stage where you start seated in a boat and then you engage when you're floating. It's like in the 90s, late 90s or something. It's like, wow. Yeah. The stuff has really changed for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, England, what happened to you? You used to be so cool.
Let's not be them.
No. No, and it is funny when you look at, like, you know, we complain about how bad things here, and they are.
Yep.
Then you look at places like there, and it's like, yeah, let's not become that crap. No.
No, no, no. I think, like, the shooting community in Canada is so broad and so wide. I think it would be hard to kind of program that same sort of mentality, right? But I don't know.
We're kind of America light too, so we do have a little bit of that frontier go F yourself. Not nearly as much as the Americans, and not nearly as much as we should, but way more than the Brits.
Well, but also, all right. So, like, you know, the gun Brian's got there, or like I was talking about this in the chat today or yesterday, whatever, whenever we were talking about it. Like, you know, my 1895 back there, I like taking that places if I'm going to go somewhere and just like want to have a gun with me, because that gun doesn't bother people, even though it's the biggest, one of the hardest hitting things I own. It doesn't bother people because it's got wood. It looks kind of cool. And so like I think there's that too, right? I don't know. But
paint
anyway,
it white. Learn from Adriel.
Yeah,
white. Paint it white. Color's okay.
Paint it white.
Technology is always supposed to advance, except in firearms. It's bad if that advances past like 1904 or something like that. So
yeah. Evil.
Very strange.
But we've just now been proven by Brian Bolivar that we can all subsist on 100-year-old firearms technology. And I guess that means we all have to train on that now. Brian, what did you do to us?
No, like, no. Whoa. I did something because it was ridiculous. I didn't do it because it's a good idea. No, that's
fair. And you're in very rarefied air, and that's why you were capable of doing the ridiculous thing.
Now that I already own this rifle, though, if they become much more popular, that would increase the value of the one I own. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Don't sell that thing. It's cool. That's a cool thing.
It is cool. It's so fun. And it's fun to, to bring it out with newer shooters who have recently come into shooting and they don't have an idea of the history. They don't have an interest in the history because frankly, they're not nerds like me. Yeah. And they just they literally look at me like I'm the weirdest human being they've ever met.
To be fair, you probably are.
Well, that's maybe because I'm an engineer. But anyway, that's
true.
Yeah. Yes,
but I think every firearm owner have their own development arc, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. So
for example, when I got started, I have a shotgun. I have a handheld clay thrower. And I went out once a quarter, maybe with a friend, into a crown field. We throw clays. We shoot at them. And then a guy introduced to action shooting. Okay, ammo is expensive. Got into reloading. Now I want to load this 450 Bushmaster because I can. Things like that.
You want to do something that's silly.
Yeah. Everybody wants a little bit silly. Yeah. But I love falling block rifles. I really should own one someday because like they're really entertaining. Yeah, I've got one buddy. He's all about collecting. If it's old and kind of obscure, he's got it in his collection. He's a millwright. It's just like I'm always entertained when I see him posting whatever new fascinating new like thing he's got heavy on the quotes, but every once in a while, so we do kind of like monthly poker games where we'll play for ammunition. So instead of chips, we just like 9mm. It's great. It's a lot of fun. But he'll usually bring some guns over, and they'll end up in my shop. And it's always fun when I pop in. I'm like, oh, what do we have here? Last time he was here, there was a falling block gun that I was like, oh, I need this. This is cool. Yeah, they're so cool. I don't know. I think it's like that cool step forward in technology, right? So.
Oh, that was such a big change when you look at that. You know, we used muzzle loaders and flintlocks for like 400 years or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody's like, well, this sucks. Let's do this. And you're like, whoa.
And then you go
read about some battle at the time and like somebody's force just like destroyed the other team, like hands down, just because they had a different gun.
Mainly. Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely bananas what those like little incremental changes in technology, meant in at those stages now. But they're also, you know, those are the footprints that, you know, lead to the cool modern firearms that we all love and enjoy today, right?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, firearms technology realistically hasn't changed since 1900, right? Yep. Now. I mean, a little better material, better machining, different designs, but we've had centerfire mag-fed semi-autos since like 1907.
Yep.
Commercially, and before that with prototypes and stuff. So nothing's really changed in 125 years, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when that stuff was changing, like it's like any technology, right? Cars don't really improve. But back in the 40s and 50s, when there were like 100 companies making them and everything was really interesting and innovative, computers in the 80s, you know, when there were 50 companies that made stuff, like, and then industry's all mature, and then it's kind of just they're all the same kind of little differences here and there, but they're not that far apart. You don't get that. Everything's an evolution, not a revolution at a certain point. And back then, like falling block, I mean, whoa. Like,
do you think we're going to see, do you think we'll see a change, you know, or like a big innovation now that we're starting to play around with like caseless ammunition? Now that the other thing is like, you know, there's still novelty because we're still like the like amount of like energy density isn't there. But thinking about like compact rail guns, like that's going to be
sci-fi stuff.
I don't love sci-fi stuff at all.
Yep, it would be cool if we could get laser guns, but I have a feeling anything new and cool we wouldn't be able to get it in Canada anyway. So
okay, the laser gun thing. So that technically doesn't meet the definition of a firearm. I have a friend. He's got his. I like to say he's got a PhD in laserology because I can't remember what it actually is, and I really should know, just out of respect for him. But works with lasers, has all the cool special licenses to have the really powerful lasers in Canada.
Nice.
And I asked him one day, it's like, okay, could we build me a laser gun? And and he sits there and thinks about it for a minute, and he's like, yeah, I think we could do that. It would be a little bit like the gun from Akira. Is that okay? Because like, and I'm like, yes, the gun from Akira. No, who would want that? But from like a technical perspective, I think the technology and the energy density, all of those components exist now to be able to do that. I'm sure DARPA is making cool, weird things that we're not allowed to know about that, you know, but.
You could set a duck on fire midair.
I know. Yeah. So going from falling block rifles to laser guns inside of 100 years would be pretty neat.
That would be cool. But I really have a feeling if we got cool things like rail guns and lasers, I have a feeling that all of that stuff would be instantly prohibited. Like, we're never going to see that stuff. Same as electronic triggers. I'm like, I'd like to see electronic triggers and guns. And I'm like, probably not going to happen because that stuff would be so easily programmable.
What's the Remington 700X thing prohibited in Canada? Do we ever see those?
I don't know.
The electric trigger gun was the primers.
Right. Yeah. Remington made an electric trigger gun in 700 special ammo. It never did take off.
No, but I'm just wondering if they actually bullhead that.
So a bolt gun, probably not. But if you built an electronic trigger like you do with paintball guns into a firearm,
that'd be bad, right?
You just throw a new board in, it's full auto. So
I was going to say, that's probably why.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, no, bad on a, like, bad. You're bad for doing bad things, you know, but.
Yeah, I don't think the Remington was that complicated. I think it was like, it was a switch connected to a battery that sent a spark to the. It was kind of a piezoelectric, more of a piezoelectric trigger than a barbecue lighter, as it were.
It will be interesting to see what happens. I mean, there's just so, like, the industry is so mature. Things are priced reasonably. It absolutely works. I mean, even caseless ammo, other than for tanks and artillery pieces, really hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, that what was the weird Nazi space gun? German space gun?
G11.
Yeah, the one that's prohibited in Canada, despite the fact there's only like it four is? Of them in the world. It's prohib, dude. G11 is prohib. Well,
yeah, that's. Let's put it this way. The freaking Buttmaster, shout out to Ian, is freaking prohib in Canada. There was one built. So that's I don't think they really care. They're just amazing. Like, it's in the news, so we might as well, because
she came up in a try Google to search is what happened.
Should we get in touch with Serbu? Maybe once they mail me my new firearms license, we can get in touch with Serbu and import it just so that Justin has a heart attack. Like, imported for the business.
Ian's trying to have one made.
No, is he? Yes. Cool. Oh, that's great news. I gotta poke him again. Did he get his business license? I hope so.
Not last time I talked with him.
Fun times.
Well, he will be on the show when he get it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And if anyone happens to have any lasers or rail guns,
contact
our radio gmail.com
and we'll bring Brian back on. Brian, you're gonna have to help me design this thing. I haven't had to be an engineer like in a decade.
I think he's the wrong kind of engineer, though. He could probably make water pour down it.
That's fair
Or like pour concrete around it so you could put it on it.
My practical and applied math skills have deteriorated quite a bit. They're still there, but
I tell you what, Dustin, I will help you, but I will give you a quote of my chargeable rate per hour, because if anybody is asking me to do engineering on top of all the engineering I have to do, I'm getting paid for it.
That's funny. Even for a laser gun? Come on.
Laser beams.
Yeah. He's not
as laser beams.
Oh, come on. You guys, look, you know what? Kelly and Brian, you're both way too disinterested in this. Kyle's got a big smile on his face. Kyle wants a laser gun. He doesn't want to say he wants a laser gun. Kyle wants a laser gun.
Set ducks and fire midair.
I wouldn't.
Come on.
Apparently, Kelly, you don't want to be a part of this. Come on, think about it. The laser revolution.
You could set up.
Think about deer hunting.
I will say I'm more interested in like a rail gun than I am the laser gun.
Yeah, rail guns are much more practical for poking holes and things. Lasers, you just set them on fire gradually.
Yes, this is true.
What I see is setting the laser on really low power, and then you and your friends go play laser tag for real.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh. Ouch, that hurt.
It's consequences. Just like, all right. Everybody, save for Tony, did everybody screw around with pellet guns and BB guns with their friends when they were kids, right? And we all shot each other and our friends.
Yeah, because we didn't have paintball guns, so.
Yeah.
We're pretty happy we found out about paintball.
Hey, you're from Alberta, don't lie. You totally did.
No, I shot exclusively targets. Surprisingly, at the time, BB guns were not that regulated in China. I think they've really clamped on that. So my childhood was filled with BB guns. Yeah, that made public a lot safer, for sure.
Of course.
A lot less, quote-unquote, gang-looking kids riding bicycles, having a BB gun in their front basket, or all around the community shooting at pop cans or whatever.
That sounds
nothing
awesome.
Nothing is more gangster than your gun.
It's not bad.
Oh my goodness.
All my teacher was more concerned as me riding bike over speed, not
the gun in the basket.
Really?
That's why. That's the thing? The bike riding thing is too fast. Can't do that. Okay, we'll try to... We don't even have a speedometer at the time. We're just trying to ride slower, I guess.
Wow.
They had speed limits for bicycles?
No, it's just my teacher's, bless her soul, she is too nice, and she's like, it's a small group of boys.
They were concerned about your safety.
Yes.
Yeah. Concerned about you, not you breaking the speed limit with your
Not the speed limit thing, it's just like we're riding bikes too fast.
We do have speed limits for bicycles here, though. My brother got a speed limit on a BMX.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the town we lived in had a very steep, very long one-way street. It was like one way down, one way up, like two lanes. And I guess a Mountie clocked him doing 64.
That's fast.
Yeah, and gave him a ticket.
I would keep that ticket.
I know, right? Yeah, it was impressive. He's like, yeah, this is a moving violation. You were doing well over the speed limit, and you aren't wearing a helmet. So, yeah.
I wore my helmet. Well, no.
How did they catch you? Come on. You're on a bike.
And they were in a car.
Yeah, they can go like cross country. Come on.
But that sounds kind of like, you know, the speed radar is out on roads and they tell you your speed.
So you speed up?
Well, yeah,
it's a challenge. There's
one near my old house and I tried to get the high score.
Is that a thing? You get the high score, you get to walk up to it and like put your initials in?
More personal. Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yes.
That's really quick.
Carve your name on the back of it with your score.
Your score, yeah, write it in. They just need to attach a clipboard to it. That's what you should do. Attach a clipboard to it with a pencil and then write scores on it.
That's how you turn a nuisance, like you know, a government nuisance into a bit of fun for folks. I like
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Should do that, bro.
The problem is the people that were in my neighborhood, they wouldn't have seen the humor in that.
No.
It was a village of Karens. It was terrible.
This was one of those instances where the cop was familiar with my brother. They were familiar with both me and my brother. It was a smaller town, and we never got into like real trouble, but they were aware of our existence.
No, so they're like, finally caught you at something, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I went, and he's more of a car guy, so that was the direction all of his nuisancery went in. But like, I went to visit, and like for Christmas once, and had like saw that like they had like their cable and phone linked up, RCMP call, and this is actually a cop I knew, and she was like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "It's Christmas time." Like, yeah. I'm like, she's like, "I'm calling to see if your brother's most recent project is off the road because, you know, we gave him a week and I'm going to be by tomorrow." And like, yeah, it's off the road. I think he's taking it to get crushed right now. But he'd buy write-offs and then make them less insurable until like he got pulled over, got his 1 week, like get this off the road warning. And
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he built all kinds of cool things, but that's not cool. Gun related. So.
So he's like that dude that I can't remember his name, but he had a video of it where he built a jet engine off a helicopter and stuck it in the back of VW and
then
got pulled over.
He's that kind of guy. He got into he builds demolition derby cars with his wife and they go and compete in North America.
That's fun.
So yeah, he turned his bad habit into a hobby kind of. So yeah.
So hey, guns.
Yeah, it's the gun show, guys.
I'm sorry.
We're wandering around. It's fun wandering around.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm wandering.
I remember where we were with the gun stuff. Oh, lasers. We're into laser guns.
Yeah, that's laser
right. Rail guns.
Kelly looks like she's going to kill us. I really do appreciate you and humoring me, Ryan, because I was very insistent that Dave make you come on.
He's your public I told you about.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you would have said it was Dustin, I would have agreed right away instead of waiting the 30 seconds to agree that I did.
Oh. I thought it was Kelly initially. So I didn't break his bubble on that one.
Kelly. Well, yeah.
I could have asked him myself.
You didn't.
That would have taken me 6 seconds, Kelly, to agree. 60 seconds for sure.
I mean, technically, I could have messaged you too. I do have you on Facebook. So
yeah. No,
yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway.
That's fair. But yes, thank you for indulging me. I think it's super cool. I know when I shot my maple seed, it was really important to me that I got, you know, my rifleman patch, because I'm not a terrible shot, but I cannot fathom doing it like that. So hats off to you, sir.
Actually, I have another maple seed anecdote. Being that I'm single, and you know, there's dating apps. I actually had someone reach out to me because of my posted score on Maple Seed. She's a Maple Seed shooter at Relax. So we've had some interesting chats about shooting. That's
so, hey, baby.
It's kind of right? Like the, cool. Like the Maple Seed thing is, you know, building community. So
yeah,
that's really awesome.
That's nice.
Cool.
That's got to feel good for something that, you know. How old is Maple Seed now?
2017 is when we incorporated.
No, there's math to do, Kelly. What's wrong?
Minus three. Seven years.
Seven years. We've been around. Wow.
That's really cool.
Okay, Kelly, stats time. How many riflemen are there?
Off the top of my head?
How many different people are riflemen? Gino?
Oh, I don't know about different people, but we can.
Also, we never assigned them a number. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah, I can go back into it, but I don't know off the top of my head. It's about 250.
Is that it?
Oh, really? Oh,
that's it? Yeah. Is that Ontario or Canada?
No, more than that. More than that. There's like 100 per year.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. 2024, we had 91.
Yeah.
Nope.
But are those repeats?
Yeah, there's a lot of repeats.
There may be. But 2023 had 100. 2022 had 110, give or take. 2021,
yeah, you know what?
Had 97.
It's about 100 a year. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. How many? All right. So let's dig in a little more. How many distinguished?
Oh, God. How many distinguished?
was tab?
Six, I believe.
Oh, really?
Seven.
But we only started counting since.
That's a new thing, because the reason I asked, because one of the posts was out in Alberta, a lady got her distinguished.
Nice. She did.
Yep. I was impressed. It's good.
And then how many people are known distance riflemen, Kelly?
I was gonna ask that next.
Go ahead, Brian.
Only one, and it's Brian.
Okay. Oh no, that's good. I'm good.
Anyway, I didn't quite hear.
We can take
just
David.
The one, right?
Just the one so far.
Seems less needy when I ask it, Brian.
It's less obvious that I'm looking to gloat a little bit. Yeah, I have to admit, the second known distance when I was there as staff, I was equally pleased and disappointed that no one else.
I'm surprised nobody did.
What
I was expecting a couple guys
for a KD rifleman.
Martini Henry rolling block and like 38 Craig.
What's the caliber for the original 577 or something?
Yeah, 577 Snyder. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I shot a Renegade straight pull in
2221.
Yeah, with an IBI barrel and a 4-16 optic on it. So.
Yep. I think that a couple of people that were at the last one, they were pretty close. Well, but they'll be back.
Nice.
And they brought really good rifles that they could use to shoot it as well. So,
the challenge we've got in the centerfire semi-automatic world in Canada now is nothing is anywhere close to as good as an AR-15. So,
correct.
And at four times the price.
Yes.
Four times the money and half the rifle.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a nice friend too there. It was nice.
Yeah, but does it do anything more than the solid old Norinco AR-15s used to do?
Yeah, no.
It is less accurate.
However, that being said, we can't shoot ARs right now.
Right now.
Yes, that is the key words. Right now.
Right now.
I really want to get my Cold Canada IUR and get another rifleman badge with it.
I want to shoot my CCFR AR. I have one of the CCFR ARs, or technically my stepdad does, because I wanted him to have an AR before the ban happened, and I was like, this is really important to me. this is really important to me. This never goes to the government. You hold on to this. But yeah, I want to shoot it one day again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a couple I have never fired. Built them, never fired them. But yeah, I want to get my IUR out again because I love that gun. And I'm more confident with that rifle than I am with anything else. So yeah, I miss it so much.
Well, you can fondle it. Yeah. You can possess it. It's so dangerous to the public that you have to keep it and not use it.
Keep it in my safe and not use it at the government mandated and licensed range.
Correct.
But again, to end everything with a nice positive note, it's for now, right?
For now.
You know, the end of the day, I think the important positive thing on all of those notes is to remember that even the police are kindly coming out en masse and saying this is ridiculous. These bans are doing nothing. We're, you know, a year or less from an election. One budget away from an election.
I'm very happy that the police unions are finally standing up and saying, and the police themselves, and saying that this is stupid. And like tweeting it to Mr. Trudeau when he actually says, you know, we ban handguns. They're like, well, it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So Dustin, do you always try and finish on a high note on items?
Yes.
He does.
What is that? She keeps nodding like it's a bad thing. I'm trying.
It's really annoying.
Oh. Stop being so positive, damn you.
Oh gosh. You gotta be positive. There's lots in life to be negative about. There's lots in our sport and hobby to be negative about. I think if we don't have light at the end of the tunnel, we lose sight of the things that we still have and the things that we could have, and people lose motivation. I lost a ton of motivation. Like, my shooting dropped off a cliff when the first round of bans happened, and then really dropped off a cliff. Like, I had some things in the works that I was really excited about that I just never did because I let it get to me. I let the fear and I let the heaviness get to me for a couple of years, and I'm trying to work my way not to that, and this the ending things on a positive note is my exercise for that.
I got some positive note here. So I just calculated the numbers from Appleseed. Unique riflemen 635 unique, 761 total.
Wow, there you
go.
635.
That's awesome.
Like, cool. That's nice. A lot of repeat people.
Yeah,
not really.
Oh, not
so
really.
So 635 versus 761. Yeah, there's like 100
repeats.
120.
A bunch of those repeats are me. So.
And I got a few.
Yeah. I could probably have, you know, like a good hand of five card with just my rifleman badges. So yeah.
Oh, you could like put them on your wall behind you so the room wouldn't look so empty.
I could.
See, circular, just not, tie everything back to how we started the show.
But I'm not gonna. Because I'm decorating my place the way I want to.
With comic books.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good run. That's okay. Mine's all old computers, so whatever.
Yeah, okay. It'll really pull the room together.
I've got comic books back there. These comic books are great.
Comic books are great.
Yeah.
Okay, gun show.
Yes.
We're done the main topic? Yeah. I think we are.
Comics with
guns.
Yeah,
I think we're done the main topic. Listener feedback. We don't have an email for this week, I don't believe, but we do have comments. Apparently, CCFR did like our derailment episode, so that's very much appreciated. And I think CCFR is visiting our channel way more often now. Awesome.
Cool. Hi, Rod.
Or is it a media guy who was visiting us more?
Or is it Kelly?
Kelly.
Yeah, that's because I have so much free time. No,
yeah, exactly. You're still an integral part to the CCFR team, right?
No.
What? That Ontario people are going to go rogue. Their director just said, no, I'm not. No. Anyway, Eddie has three comments. Dustin, if you're hunting in the Lower Mainlands, you probably needed the Fraser Valley Special Hunting License, which requires proof of personal liability insurance. I believe it is mandated under the guise that you need insurance to hunt in a heavily populated area.
Yes, that was the extra hunting license and the extra insurance that my normal hunting insurance was not covering me for.
I would give a suggestion to the CCFR. Can you have an optional insurance on top of your membership for BC members, maybe?
For Fraser Valley. Thought.
Yeah, for Fraser. A lot of them live there.
Yeah, so like, sells that insurance. Is that money?
I was going to actually ask. Because
Wildlife Association.
Does CCFR actually have insurance now? Because I know they didn't have it for a little portion there.
No, there is insurance, and you can buy the extra insurance as well. Still,
I guess it's a check mark option you can get, Dustin. You should do that.
I have insurance for the year, more than enough now.
Sure. Dave, I'm surprised you haven't heard of the 35 Whalen. Yeah, it is a 30-06 necked up to 358 caliber. I got to fire one a few decades ago and almost got scoped. It's credited to Colonel Townsend Whalen, who's also known for his quote, "Only accurate rifles are interesting."
And yes, one of my favorite quotes. I used that quote this afternoon, actually. And I used it on the show tonight, now that I think about it.
The 30-06 is never a mistake.
308.
Yeah. It was designed with African game in mind, using a rifle of 30-06 or standard length action. I guess back in the day, that was a standard length action. Nowadays, we consider that as a long action or on an AR platform, extra long action. Is that even a thing?
No.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's made a 30-06.
Well, probably. But
That's reminding me. I used to have a 35 Wildland. It was a great rifle. It was built on, I want to say, P14 action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I had bought it from a really dear friend. It was a great rifle. I'm sure I harvested a deer with it. It's just kind of different though. It's a 30-06, but with a 35 caliber bullet.
Yep, there is somebody. Noreen Firearms builds the Bravo November 36 X-ray 3, which is a 30-06 AR-10.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, Noreen is also the manufacturer who gave us a single shot 50 cal quote unquote pistol. So yeah, they mad lads over there, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
Send it.
What kind of magazine are you gonna use? AICS pattern?
Hey, maybe they made their own mag. I don't know.
Yep.
Probably. I have no idea.
And last comment from Eddie, a limitation with Boar Snake is unplugging the barrels. Using example, you guys have mentioned getting a case stuck in a chamber or having mud plug up your bore. You will have to have a rod to clear that out. Was that consideration? I carry a cleaning rod to the range and field and forego the bore snake. I don't recall a time I need to clean the bore away from home. Probably the most common for competition shooters is squibs. A lot of us do reload and once in a while, the powder measure either doesn't work or you didn't buy great quality reloads. So I do have it. I've only had to employ it once, I want to say. But it does happen. And I've seen PC9s, especially after high round counts, if it's a steel challenge, for example, at the last few stages, you can have... If the crimp isn't aggressive on the case, you can have rounds stuck in the rifling. Or I guess maybe not the rifling, maybe just the carbon deposits in the chamber. So yes, do carry a cleaning rod. I don't use it often, but it's better to have it, not need it.
I use them all the time, and I carry a wooden block and a hammer too.
Mm-hmm.
So if
you shoot, end up at a lot of competitions, you get a lot of weird stuff.
Let's see. I guess we'll do. Here's a good idea. We'll do our sponsor link for what people bought from our links next week, or maybe the week later. We'll see because Black Friday is coming up and a lot of people are going to buy stuff.
Good call.
That reminded me I need to click on the Brownells link before I buy stuff.
Yep. Brownells, Cabela's.
Brownells, Cabela's. Yep. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us on Patreon or Player, you can find us on both of the platforms. If you'd like to send an email to us, you can send them to, as Dave has suggested earlier, slamfireradio@gmail.com. Shoutouts and recommendations. We'll go with Adria first.
I don't got any.
Such an unthankful week. 2 weeks.
Next
too.
Week. Next week.
Anybody else?
Why do you think it's so broken? Kelly?
Nope. Just thanks, Brian, for coming on. And for seeing you. It's always fun to see you.
Dustin?
I would love to shout out the good folks at Canada Post. Because of you, I will not be able to shoot for the first time in longer than I can remember. And also, thanks for coming on, Brian. Really appreciate it. Always good to see you.
Kyle?
Nope.
Dave?
Canada Post's reply to that, Dustin, is, well, now you appreciate it, don't you?
I don't.
Well, I guess I'll blame the firearms program instead, because they should have sent that out like months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get an honorable mention, too, for the six-month wait.
Or, like, you know, email you a copy, and then you can just print it and keep it with you. Like,
apparently, we can't do that. Yeah, I asked for, a digital copy to send my union to update it, like, when it got, and they're like, nope, screw you. Like, all right, I hope I don't have to supervise any guns for the next couple of weeks.
And thank you for coming on as well, Brian, and being an awesome dude in general.
What about Brian? Anyone to shout out?
I don't know. You guys are all saying nice things about me, and I'm not used to that.
You're just really uncomfortable now. You're
really uncomfortable
weird.
Right now. Could you just stop?
I'll give you a shout out later, too.
I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about one of my favorite rifles and doing fun maple seed things and, yeah, just having a good chat. So. Thanks again for the invitation.
Absolutely.
I'll Tony. Give Brian a shout out too. Thank you for pushing the envelope on what is possible in a semi-competitive shooting environment, I guess. You know, you got to compete for your rifleman and your KD rifleman too. Maybe they'll come to Alberta soon. I don't think I can do it though. But that's a different discussion. No, I don't think I can deal with my 223 either. We'll see.
I'm trying to think of the next test. Do I try it with a black powder?
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure you're going to smoke up the whole firing line, that all the time stages, like two shots. That's all you get.
Yes, black powder, absolutely.
Well, you just need to carry a brace of black powder revs. You just have 10 of them laid out.
Oh, and you're yes. good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dave in the back loading them for me.
Yeah, I'll come load your guns. No problem.
Tactical roll over to the next one. Fire, roll.
Just keep handing your rifles.
I will be. I'll
grab one, somebody put one in.
I'll be an individual that day. Kelly will not like me on the line.
That is cool. Funny.
Oh, and, you could just do a cartridge black powder like a
45-70.
Like a Thompson Arms or something. Thompson Center, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll give a recommendation to, well, a lot of people probably stopped watching them a long time ago, the Meat Eaters. I've been getting more into hunting recently, so I'm starting to watch more of the stuff and adventures, and seems to be
they released
fun.
A bunch. They've been releasing them like full episodes on YouTube recently. Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
Banana Ballistics also did one on does a 22 bounce in a body, which is hilarious. You should watch it.
Oh, yeah. Who? I think it was TFB who tested like Chinese optics and stuff, too. So that's fun. I haven't watched it yet.
Short
I
episode.
It.
Doesn't work. Still don't work.
All right.
Tony.
We're going to end it for tonight.
Close the show.
Yeah, Kelly is getting impatient.
Go to bed.
Join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Later.
Bye.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.